This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. I am Dean Holland here in the studios at Zoomerplex with Charlie Dobbin.
Again,
how are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm excellent. Can you believe it? This is two Saturdays in a row
we have been
in the studio.
It's crazy and always nice to be only a sheet of plexiglass away from you.
Between us. It's funny, Frank and I used to sit side by side, and when he'd piss me off, I'd like be punching him and poking
That's
him.
That's why I sit on the other side of the plexiglass.
Yeah, the poking in the ribs thing. He was always complaining about how much I hurt him.
Very, very funny. How was your week?
It was great. Spring is in the air. Woof. Mm-hmm. And it was a windy week. I found that. It was kind of exhausting being outside. At my place, it's always windy, but it was particularly windy this week. So just stepping out the front door is like, oh, I'm tired. I have to go back in.
It is. But you know what? Even with that wind, it is remarkable how the flowers just, nothing seems to
stop.
They can get through anything and they just stay there. They just stand there.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's a late spring this year.
Yeah.
It's been cool. So I'm looking at the only flowering things I got going on at my place right now are still the snowdrops, which are supposed to have come up back last March.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a late spring, but lots and lots of green, lots of plants that are ready to go, the little hyacinths, you can see the buds just wanting to pop.
I will tell you about the flowers that I've got. I first want to give out the numbers,
though. Yeah, better
do that. Yeah, because we'd love for you to call in with any gardening questions you have, indoor or outdoor questions. 416-360-0740 is the number that you use if you live in Toronto or anywhere else in the province of Ontario. It is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Please let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, because then he lets us know, and then we give you your garden wings.
Ooh, baby.
Well earned, yes.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, the mantra here, call often, call early, and please, one question per call. Okay? Yeah.
So did I tell you what I did last night?
You did.
Oh, okay. Shall
I
tell you again?
I want to hear the details.
So last night, I came into Toronto yesterday because it was my birthday, and traditionally my brother takes me to a ball game for my birthday. He's a huge baseball fan. We've been doing this since the 80s. I mean, you know, back exhibition stadium days.
Right.
So one game every year with my bro off to the Jays game. And again, I mean, I hate to toot my own horn and how much luck I bring to the team, but
you're gonna go
one
ahead.
More time. I was there and they won.
Wow.
They've never lost yet.
Really?
When I'm here. Yeah,
in 40 years.
In 40 years.
And you still know nothing about baseball.
I know nothing.
So, you know, one might think, you know, it would be like this, in all fairness, Charlie. It would be like me listening to The Garden Show 40 times and not knowing anything about gardening.
No. Baseball, it's the intricacies. And my brother's one of those baseball nerds, right? So he's showing me, because it's all new screens at the whatever it's called now. And it was, you know, so over here, look over your left shoulder. We've got this stat that tells us, I'm like, I don't care. I really don't care. But he's really good at anticipating the play. So instead of me always being gazing off to the, you know, the seagulls, he says, okay, watch the guy on second, because he's going to try and steal third. And then there's going to be this, and that's going to happen here. And it invariably goes just the way he said it was going to.
So he understands baseball like you understand plants.
Pretty much,
right. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
It's his passion, for sure.
With that, we are going to take a quick break, but we do have callers on the line. My goodness, the lines are lighting up. We will be right back right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Here we are back on The Garden Show. And as I mentioned before we went to break, my goodness, the lines are lighting up. So let's,
You should introduce yourself. Yeah. Dean Holland.
Dean Holland, which yes. I did at the top of the show.
Okay, I just
yes, I did, but thank you very much. Yes, also, you know, also a very novice baseball player. I enjoy going out to the ball game.
There you go.
A few years ago, we were heading down to my friends and I were heading down to do a show in Massachusetts. So we went to see a Red Sox game.
Nice.
And I sat by the big green monster.
Okay.
And had a you know the Sam Adams beer and a big hot dog. There you go. It was great.
That's
life. had to have somebody explain the game to me, but I enjoyed.
I understand the basics. It's just the intricacies. I'm
absolutely.
Not so up on.
Okay, let's go to our first caller.
Yes.
We've got Barb on the line from Ayton. How are you this morning, Barb?
Oh, hi. Good morning and happy Easter weekend to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I was just wondering, we have an older privet hedge and we have some bare spots, a bare spot in it. Can you start, like I'm told that if you go to just another plant, it won't be the same kind. Can you start cutting?
Yeah. Sure. Sure you can. So you have like one died. There's an actual hole in the hedge where there's a missing shrub.
Yeah.
If it's just a regular privet, Amur privet, A-M-U-R privet is the common name. And if it's just that, it's very likely you could go to any garden center and buy one. It might be hard to plant, though, because it's going to be a lot of roots in between the other shrubs.
Oh, yeah.
But starting a cutting can work, no question. I wouldn't do it yet. Wait another, 6 weeks or so, and then take a 6-inch tip cutting from your hedge, because it'll be growing by then. So you'll take a soft, green, flexible, new growth cutting. So as soon as you've got that, it might be more than a month, it might be 6 weeks or so. You're going to cut that off, remove the lower leaves, and then just into a jar of water or a, you know, moist sand, moist perlite, get some roots growing. That'll happen fairly quickly. And then into the ground, it'll take a few years for it to really fill, but it'll work.
There was a clicking on the line. I couldn't understand what you said. You said to take about a 6-inch
cutting.
A 6-inch cutting?
Yep. No bigger than 6 inches. 4 to 6 inches is the rule when you're taking cuttings.
Okay, and only in about 6 weeks.
Well, wait until it's growing. Wait until you've got new growth. Right now, if you look at your hedge, it's got last year's growth. The woody stems are from last year.
Yeah.
You'll get faster roots from a softwood cutting, and softwood is new growth. So that'll be green stem.
Okay, would you put it right in the ground or would you root it in water first?
I'd root it first.
Oh, root in water?
You could try. Yeah, it'll root in water. Once you've got that cutting, it'll root very quickly. Just anything moist, sand, perlite, vermiculite, even a jar of water.
Okay, good luck on that, Barb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much for your call.
No
Barb.
Problem.
Say, if it were me, I would just, you know, start to cut out every two bushes, I'd cut another one out.
Make a pattern. I mean, the other thing, of course, is old privet hedge, Barb said.
Yeah.
The rule there of thumb was old. When something's old, it tends to get really woody and thin and not very pretty. And you'd be surprised how tough privet as a hedge is. That's why we use it for hedging.
Right.
People, I have seen them cut down to 3 inches tall. In the spring, like right now, before it starts to grow, the whole thing grows
back up
beautifully thick and lush. And that would be obviously an optimal time to be able to tuck one in as well.
Yeah, nice. Mm. Okay, I got another caller on the line. Let's go to North York for this caller. We're going to go to Alice. Welcome to the show, Alice.
Good morning, Charlie. And I'm calling regarding my tulips. I've had them for quite a few years, and they're facing the sun from 7 in the morning till the evening. And they're about 5-6 inches tall. There's not a bud on them. Last year was the same thing. I got about 10 or 12 tulip blooms.
Right. So lots of leaves, but no flowers.
No, they're beautiful bushes. I have over 100 bulbs.
But you planted them quite a number of years ago.
Yes.
So you know what's probably happened? So the bulbs you planted were call those the mother bulbs, and they probably bloomed beautifully for 3 to 4 years, which is what they do. These are highly hybridized, highly bred plants, and they're beautiful for a couple of years. But they don't last because baby bulbs grow off the bottom of the mothers. The mothers tend to get a really what's the word, crowded out by all those babies. Mm-hmm. And what you end up with is all those small bulbs, lots of leaves, and it will take a number of years before those little bulbs are mature enough to produce flowers. So you end up with a couple of years of green. What the people can who can afford it will do is they rip them all out and start again. They don't try and grow them up and sort of go through all those years of green. Or you could go in, wait another month or 6 weeks, 8 weeks even, and you can separate them out. By separating those little babies out, giving some space between them,
okay,
you'll have better luck next year for
flowers. And can we plant the baby ones again?
Sure.
Right away or wait for the fall?
I would do it right away and then it's done, but you can always wait till the fall. Just keep them somewhere dry, you know, out of the rain and preferably cool, just, you know, not refrigerator, but not hot.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alice. Yeah, have a nice Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie, what's your brother's name?
Gord.
Gord. Well, see, you are like Gord with baseball. You just, you know, you just know. People just call and you know.
It's true. I have been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've been going to baseball games for a while, One game a year doesn't count.
No.
And I never watch on TV.
You got it.
I'm a Raptors fan.
Oh, you're a basketball girl.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I'm going to give out those numbers again.
Good idea.
And then we have to take a short break. Anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Toll free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back for more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey there, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio with Charlie Dobbin.
Yes, indeed.
And we are the phone lines are lighting up, so we're going to get right to a call. I'm going again to North York. Yeah, very patiently in line. Welcome to the show, Rita.
Oh, good morning. On this lovely, lovely sunny day, and my little cardinals sitting there eating their food, it makes you happy.
Totally.
My problem is, I just like to know, when can I just trim my big cedar hedge? Because I remember one year you said you had to do it before June.
No. Okay, so if anybody's listening who has their own philosophy on trimming cedar hedges, I'm sure they're going to yell at their radios right now. What I do with cedar hedges and any of the evergreens, the trimming takes place when they're actively growing. So active growth on a cedar hedge is usually June. It could be early June, could be late June. It's when all that bright emerald green flush of growth starts happening. So it's at that point, if you're going to do some shearing, that you'll get out your big, you know, Edward Scissorhand type shears or your electric blades, and you'll go out there and you'll do your shearing. Before that, though, you can always go out today, excuse me, put on your gloves and comb your cedar hedges, comb your cedars. Take out the dead stuff. Anything that's broken, the dead, the diseased, the damaged, can be removed at any time. But to shear for shape, wait till it's actively growing.
Okay, then. And I think you said at one time it would be better if you did it today and it's going to rain tomorrow. Is that right?
Well, don't do it when it is raining. And we try to do when it. Remember, when we prune anything, we're wounding it. Even if we're taking away dead stuff, we're still opening up a wound. So we try to ensure that that wound can heal as well as possible in as dry of an environment as possible, as quickly as possible. So it's always nice to not have rain for at least a day or two after we do a big pruning job.
Okay, then. Thank you. Happy Easter.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rita.
Thank you.
You too.
We have very, very, very big cedar hedges along one side of our property divide, and like 9 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
You know, and,
I've seen them 20.
Yeah, they're huge.
And wide, you know.
Yeah. And our neighbor over the years has been very, very kind. He lived there before we moved in, so he always trims them. So they're always sort of the same.
And are they green right to the bottom, right down to the ground?
They are pretty much green right to the bottom, yeah.
That's great, because that's what people lose. When they don't prune properly, the top part starts shading out the bottom part.
I see.
And then you end up with naked legs on your cedar hedge.
Right.
Like lots of nice bark,
yeah,
but no green, and then a whole, you know, green top knot on top,
yeah,
which isn't really what you're striving for with a hedge. With a hedge, you want it green right to the bottom.
But I got to tell you, our cedar hedge is like a city, because birds are always in there. I would be fearful of trimming it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, my goodness, honestly, there's got to be nests all through that.
That's great.
And I think the rabbits like to burrow under there as well.
Oh, so, yeah, it's a great shelter, right? Yeah, that's one of the reasons we grow our gardens, is to provide shelter for wildlife.
Oh, it's working. It's a city, I'll tell you. Okay, who we got next? Yeah, we've got Gail. We're going to Gail in Balsam Lake. Welcome to the Garden Show, Gail.
Thank you. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
I brought my geraniums in for the winter, and then I really neglected them, gave them a bit of water. So now I'm taking off all the little dead parts, and the stems have gone woody. Could I just cut off some of those woody stems and plant them in a small pot of soil?
What I would do with last year's geraniums, because if you have, you are they in any sun? Have you got any green growth on them at all, new growth?
Yes, quite a bit, and even flowers.
Oh, there you go. If you love those geraniums, now is the time to cut off all that lovely new fresh green growth. Root it. Put those little cuttings in a jar of water. You'll have roots in a week. Start all those new little baby green, soft, succulent plants for going out in the garden once we're frost-free. And ultimately, you might want to keep what you've cut down, you know, that old original, what we would call the mother plant. And it will be a very bushy, beautiful plant, like, eventually. But for now, it's just going to look like it's been barbered. You just chop all the tips off. But one little addendum, remove the flowers in order to encourage roots.
Excellent. So I have my job set for today.
You do. It's fun, too. It's very rewarding. You can't go wrong.
Okay.
So make sure your jar is nice and clean, and clean water. You know, keep things as sterile as possible, and you're guaranteed success.
Thank you so much.
Have fun with your geraniums there, Gail.
I did this a couple weeks ago.
Did you? Yeah. I have a bit of a sordid past with geraniums.
I like that.
Yeah, well, my grandmother was always big on geraniums. Mm. She's been gone now for the better part of a decade. She was the big, big, big gardener in my life. Mm. Taught me a lot. And I was never keen on them in my younger years, but I love them now. And I know she always loved them because she's, they bloom all summer long. Just all summer long. She would keep pinching them back.
So simple.
I do love them, and I love the lines of them.
Well, there's so many different ones. There's some that are really very nice-looking leaves. Like, it's not just about the flowers.
Some of them are variegated leaves.
Yeah, and there's one called Vancouver, which I love, because it's got a lime green edge on the leaf, and then a sort of a burgundy center.
Oh.
So it's, you know, it's just really cool. It's a very beautiful geranium. And it also gets little red flowers. So.
I think I want that geranium now.
Just remember, it's called Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Look for that one.
I will. Okay, well, we're not going to Vancouver right now, but we are going to Burlington. Now, we've got Connie on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Connie.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
Good morning.
I have containers on my balcony. Mm-hmm. We're six large containers. And every year in the fall, I dump all the soil. And then in the spring, I start all with new soil. I've heard that you can reuse that soil for two or three seasons. Is it better to start with fresh soil every spring?
This is a great question.
That's a really
good question.
I was going to say, you only get rid of that soil if it's dirty.
And what would make the soil dirty?
What would make the soil? Oh, I was only kidding, but there is.
Balconies are very controlled.
Will the mold not build up in it over the winter?
Yeah.
No, not really. And it's not a bad thing anyway. If you had containers outside your house, inside of the house, and all the local cats thought your containers were a nice litter box, then you would dump the soil. Otherwise, I never dump the soil. And it's a lot of work. I don't know what you do, Connie. Like, you're up on a balcony, you go up and down with old soil and up and down with new soil. It's a lot of soil transport, which I wouldn't look forward to. So personally,
so you can reuse it year after year then?
You can. As things start to melt and thaw, which of course they're doing now, get in there with your little trowel, dig around in your containers, pull out all those old roots that are left over from last year's. Then you're going to need some fresh soil because it will have dropped. So you're going to have to add a bit, you know, an inch or whatever. Depends, bringing it up to where it should be at the lip. And I also use, and I like using, a slow-release fertilizer. It's a synthetic slow-release fertilizer in my pots. And it's, again, use that as we're planting. So we're not quite planting yet, but soon, you know, Burlington, if you've got a southern-facing balcony, it's probably very warm. Things grow quickly and all that warmth. Containers are all thawed out. They're well ahead of the ground. The ground is still cold, but our containers are thawed and warm. So, sure, I would not dump it. It's just, it's expensive. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's expensive, and carrying those big bags up and down is getting...
I know.
Not to mention all those poor people down below who's got the soil dumped on them.
The dumping. You can imagine, right?
Yeah.
Connie's at the edge of the balcony.
Oh, Connie's gardening
again.
There
goes one container. All right. Heads up.
Okay,
below.
So
I got
that's
five
great.
More.
I'll just, this is the last year I'll buy some then. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you will buy some every year just because you will want to replenish, you want to freshen and take a look. I mean, if there's anything weird going on in the soil, we can salt build up, like a white residue, scrape that out. Green algae can grow if it's a really wet situation. But generally speaking, that soil can last for years and years. It's actually soilless, but that mix can last for years and years.
One little bag is a lot easier than a great big bag.
No question.
Okay.
Good for you.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
thank
Connie.
You. Have
question.
A good
thanks for that, Connie.
Thank you.
Okay, going to give out those numbers again. Again, give us a call if you're anywhere in Toronto. This is the number, 416-360-0740. Or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, it is a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. I think we just made, you know, we just saved some people from getting dirty hair.
I know. Somebody's one of those soil manufacturers is going to start sending me poison pen letters.
Email.
Like, what?
Yeah.
We like it when people buy new stuff every year. But it is so expensive. And there's nothing wrong with the soil unless it's been contaminated. Right?
I think some people feel, including myself, we wonder if it's been just so depleted.
Frankly, it has absolutely no nutritional value at all to start with.
It's just a medium.
It's just a medium for roots to grow in and to hold moisture around the roots.
Gotcha.
It's peat moss based in most cases. So that's one of the things about being a container gardener is you must fertilize. It's dramatic, the difference. Like, you can even do a test yourself. Two containers, same mix, you know, put some marigolds in, put whatever, same plants into each. Fertilize one regularly, as in every month, with just the blue, you know, mix up the blue stuff in the watering can into one pot, but not the other, and you will see dramatically different look. You've got tons more flowers, tons more beautiful growth, just a way better looking container garden with consistent fertilizing.
I am intrigued by that, and I think I will go and guess the slow release that you mix into your soil. That seems to me like a really good idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still a synthetic fertilizer, so it's not, it's what's good about it is for lazy people like me is I don't have to consistently fertilize every 4 weeks and check my calendar.
Yeah.
Do it once. The slow-release fertilizer will release nutrient over a 3 to 4 month period.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so once.
Yeah.
You're plant, like, you're moistening your soil because it's dry, you know, in the spring, whether you just bought it or it's last year's moistening, and then you're reading your instructions on your slow-release fertilizer because you put in a different quantity depending on the size of the pot.
Okay.
So the bigger the pot, the more you put in. So you got to have a sense of what size your pot is. Mix it just the top few inches with your little trowel. Plant your plants, water once, or, you know, water thoroughly, and it's a moist medium to start, so you've watered to start, and there you are. You don't need to ever fertilize again. You do have to water.
I do like that.
Yeah,
I really do like that. I also like it when the phone lines are lighting up, which they are. They're just lighting up like mad. Here is, we're going to Scarborough.
All right.
Bob, welcome to the garden show, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for you. I don't know whether it was you that told or mentioned it online or whether it was somebody else. Doesn't matter. But anyway, it was about roses. I have tees in the back, and they're facing south, and I've had them for years. And I always used to cut them down to about 6 inches and cover them, but someone told me that if you just leave them upright, it's probably over 3 or 4 feet, and they'll grow, which they did for 2 years. They went up to almost 6 feet, and they bloomed lovely. But this year, they seem to be dead, like they're black or dark brown all the way down to the ground. Does that mean that they've been frozen out because of the variation in the weather?
Probably not. But just to be clear, I would never recommend not pruning roses ever. Roses do need to be pruned at least once a year. Back when I went to university, we were learning rose care based on how they do it in the UK. And in the UK, they cut their roses down, their tea roses, down to about your knee, height of your knees in the fall. So it knees in the fall, ankles in the spring. So two cuttings, two serious prunings. One is in the fall to your knees. The other is down right to your ankle. So 2 to 3 inches tall in the spring. I stopped doing the knees in the fall thing. I realized I didn't need to do that. Unless the roses are interfering so that people can't get to your front door. Or, you know, I back in Richmond Hill, I had a bunch of roses along my garage. So I always had to prune them back before Halloween because all the kids would come with their billowing costumes and they'd all get hung up in the roses. It's pretty funny. He didn't really want to keep the kids. It was get out of my front walkway. But they were stuck in the roses, so I had to cut those back before Halloween, but never dramatically, just enough so that people wouldn't get caught. In the spring, I always cut them right down. So you need to do that this year. Hopefully, the root is still alive. It quite likely is. And they will come up from the root. But do a real, get out your loppers, put on your leather gauntlets. You know, get right down on your hands and knees. You're going to take the older canes out. And you're going to end up with, when you look down on those hybrid tea roses, it's going to look like an open hand, the palm of a hand, with about 5 to 6 pencil-sized canes left growing to the outside of the center palm. And they should grow back. And you'll fertilize when you're doing all that, too. So,
what do you use for fertilizer?
I use a rose food. I like a granular rose food, but you might prefer a top dressing with compost, organic, composted manure, that sort of thing. But I do find a rose food does give the balanced nutrition that roses need. They're quite heavy feeders.
I'll get my wife to do that. She's 30 years younger than I am.
There you go. She'd be good for that.
Good for you, Bob. Okay, thanks for the question.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Are tea roses typically really tiny or not?
No. Floribundas are the little flowers
right. In
a bunch, in a spray.
Okay.
So they're like sweetheart roses are the floribundas. Hybrid teas are the traditional ones you give for Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
Big, tall buds, very tall buds,
yeah. Opening
to single flowers, usually. Knock your socks off.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think I mentioned before to you, maybe it was off air, that we had the first home that my wife and I ever owned, which is going back almost 25 years ago now, we had on our, I guess it was facing the south, beautiful, beautiful light pink floribunda that just went out of its, it just grew so fast and it gave such a beautiful showing. Wonderful. I miss that.
It might have been a shrub rose.
Yeah.
So shrub roses aren't necessarily floribundas. I know there's quite a lot of categories on roses. They are not hard to grow. They get such a bad reputation. So all you need is that south side, lots of sun. Don't be afraid to prune. If you're going to do your pruning, do it like now when they're still dormant. And a little either organic or synthetic food, and you're good. You don't have to touch them again until next spring, really.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll have to dig up a picture. I'm sure we've got one in the file.
Yeah.
Right now, though, let's go to St. Kitts, St. Catharines. Okay. I've got Trudy on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Trudy.
Yeah, thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. You were talking about cedar hedges this morning, and I have a question about mine. I moved into this home, and there's quite an old cedar hedge there. Like, the trunks are quite thick. Mm-hmm. They were cut square on the top. Now, I've read that if you do that, then the snow can go on it and split it open.
Mm-hmm.
Should I slowly prune them so they're a little bit more rounded or pointed on top, or should it be okay?
No, I agree. Do not leave a flat top ever on a hedge. It looks kind of cool, like it's, out of a magazine with a flat top if it's done right. But as you point out, ice storm, snowstorm, layers right in there, splits the plant open or causes damage, which never comes back. So, and you don't even need to do a slow process of rounding. What you'll do is when you go out and do some shearing, I would curve the top. Just curve off those square edges so that at least there's some shedding from the top down. And remember as well, with any hedge, particularly a cedar hedge, we want it wider at the bottom and narrower at the top as opposed to the other way around. So you're always going to be trimming it that way.
Thank you for your advice. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for your question there, Trudy.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, this is the season, yes. I'm going to give those numbers out again. We would love for you to give us a call, 416-360-0740. That is the Toronto number, or toll-free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We have to take a quick break, but we will be right back for more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio at Zoomerplex with Charlie Dobbin, and we are just darting all over the province this morning. As usual, we get calls from all over the province. It's
nice.
So delightful.
And sometimes we get calls from the States.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right now we're going to Woodstock. We have Debbie on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Debbie.
Good morning. Happy Easter to you all.
Good morning.
And you are a first-time caller, my
dear.
Yes,
I am. I try and listen to your show every
There you go. Saturday. Got your garden wings.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. My question is, I have a huge vegetable garden, probably about 30 by 75 foot.
Wow.
I do a lot of canning and whatnot. Mm. I noticed this year that a third of my garden has got a lot of green moss on top. What can I use to kill it or get rid of it?
Okay, so let's go back to why the moss grows there in the first place.
Okay.
Moss, there's a couple conditions that moss loves, and that's when it grows. Number one, it likes consistent moisture. So has it been a particular, is it in a low area of your property where the water does tend to accumulate through the winter and the spring? We will get moss. Number two, shade. The shadier it is, the happier the moss is to grow. So veg gardens, we start our vegetable gardens out in the full sun, but sometimes the trees get bigger and bigger, and before you know it, we don't have as much sun as we used to. And number three, pH. The pH of the soil will contribute to or not contribute to the growth of any of the mosses. So I would probably do a soil test before I did anything.
Okay. I know last year I had a very poor garden. It rained quite a bit up here. Mm. And my garden is in full sun all day long. Mm. But over the years, I've been here almost 30 years, that the topsoil's kind of blowing away.
Sure.
And it's dropped down, so it does. A couple times last year, I had a little bit of a lake at kind of like where the moss is growing this year, so.
Yeah. So right away, you know that you're going to need to amend that garden soil. I mean, all of our soils, whether it's our lawns or vegetable gardens, ornamental gardens, the soil, if we have good quality soil, living soil, it's constantly disappearing because it's constantly being decomposed. If it's consistent, soil should consist of up to 5% of it being made out of organic matter. So anything organic, whether it's dead bugs or coffee grounds, organic matter should be a 5% minimum amount of your soil composition.
Yeah, well, my garden is so large, so obviously it'd be too hard to put down three-way mix and that through the whole garden. So what I do, wherever I plant the row of vegetables, I usually add the three-way mix, some wood ashes to kind of kill. They say it's good for killing kind of grubs and whatnot. I'm very organic. Yeah. I don't use chemicals or herbicides at all. So that's what I try and do every year.
Yeah.
And then whatever I do have in my composter, then I throw it in and rototill it in before I start planting the whole garden. So,
yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of rototilling because rototilling speeds up the decomposition of your organic matter because it spins the soil, gets the sunshine in there, warms everything up, and say bye-bye to whatever you've added in the way of compost, etc. It speeds up the biology when you rototill. It can also be detrimental to the structure of the soil. If you can avoid rototilling, that's a job you don't need to do. If you can bring in a truckload of composted manure in lieu of the triple mix, just because it's going to be that much better, should have that much more organic in it, use that as your planting.
Well, I do usually buy the bags of cattle. Mm-hmm. Or sheep manure, and also add it where my vegetables go. But
yeah, good idea. And don't hesitate. You could send in a soil test to one of the accredited labs or do a simple at-home soil test with a little kit you can pick up at a garden center. It helps us be more focused in what we add to our gardens and what we don't add. Just something as simple as wood ashes. If you've been doing that consistently every single year, your potassium numbers could be right out of control because of the wood ashes, which is potassium, right? Which is potash.
Okay.
So that's where a little test can really help you. So you're not doing the wrong thing. And
okay, then. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Thanks
good luck
so
on that,
for
Debbie.
Calling.
Okay, then.
Gotcha. She reminded me, canning. We talk about canning.
Yeah.
My goodness, my grandmother used to always do canning. It's not as in fashion. I think the general public doesn't do it.
Picked up
as
in the
much.
Last few
yeah.
years, trust me.
Yeah.
Whether it was the jam making or the peach canning or
right.
yeah, sauce. A lot of people make their own sauces, right?
Yeah.
With their peppers. There's those men with their peppers. Who can grow the hottest pepper?
Yeah, well, and I have very old, because of my stained glass work that I used to do, I have very old. I have the old crown jars. I have about 300 of them.
Oh,
with
nice.
The glass lids.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which are not as in fashion anymore. But I mean, because they're not as
stable.
Do you
need the new rubber gizmos? Can you get those?
Yeah, I don't know if you can get them. I have
you
a bunch.
You should be able
but
to.
I used to pick them up at farm auctions.
Yeah, they deteriorate, those little rubber things.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
The lids don't last forever.
We're going to go to Hamilton now, my hometown. Yeah, I got Rosalie on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Rosalie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about dormant oil spray for fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, when's the time to do it? And I know that's the time you can and can't do it because of when it buds. But we've had so much rain anyway that it's kind of difficult to do it. And we have someone doing it for us. So I'm just trying to get some information as to when and not to, et cetera.
How about today?
Yeah, they don't work today.
I knew you were going to say that. Today would be a good day. So dormant spray, as you point out, trees must be dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely essential spray for our fruit trees, our crabapple trees, even our roses, any of the plants that are very specifically susceptible to particularly fungal diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Dormant spray, when sprayed, when the plants are dormant, this time of year, will help control both insects and diseases that are on the plants now and have overwintered there. But you want the temperature to be above zero consistently for the 24 hours after the spray takes place. Preferably you spray when it's not windy because there's nothing worse than wearing dormant oil spray.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like rotten eggs, right? It's lime sulfur and the light mineral oil. So no wind, preferably, or low wind, above zero, and no rain in the forecast for at least 24 hours.
Okay, so if it can't be done today, so within the next few weeks, or?
You're in Hamilton. Your buds are swelling as we speak.
Okay.
So, and you're absolutely right. Once those buds break, first it'll be little leaves, and shortly thereafter there'll be flowers. There's no spraying then, particularly when the flowers are out. There's actually, it's against the law to spray any fruit trees when in flower, because you end up killing bees, because the bees are active in our fruit trees.
Right. Yeah, so. I think there's only like these little buds like for leaves on there.
Yeah.
Nothing is budded yet. So we still got about maybe a week window. And after that, no.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it's not going to get suddenly super, 30 degrees. Thank goodness. It looks like we're going to have a nice paced, cool spring, which gives us lots of time to get to all our different chores. So, yeah, just sometime soon.
If we don't get it this week, I'll have to say we can't do it this year and wait till next year.
Watch your temperatures and watch your trees, right? Just keep an eye. You do not want to spray them when there's any green showing in the buds. Like, you want to catch them before those buds crack open.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, thanks very much for the question there, Rosalie.
Have a great one. Thanks for calling.
Got to take a quick break, but we will be right back with more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here in studio at Zoomerplex with Charlie Dobbin.
Yeah, what an interesting show. It's so fun to do this together.
Yeah,
face-to-face, even with the plexiglass.
Yeah, and again, we are so fortunate that today's technology does allow, especially with, with the pandemic and such, that we can do it in our locations. But as you say, it's very nice
in
to
our
be
locations.
In studio together.
So guess what? Not next week. In 3 weeks from today, I should be broadcasting live and direct from somewhere in Mexico.
Yeah.
Hopefully that all works out.
And that's where it's good for you that we have this plexiglass, because I would maybe just toss my pen at you. You're going to be in Mexico.
I'll be working. It's not like just a holiday, trust me.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of working, we have a caller on the line. We are going to Oshawa. Welcome to The Garden Show, Bill.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller, by the way.
First-time caller.
You are a first-time caller. Ooh, okay,
exercise.
Here you go.
Welcome.
There you go, sir.
Thank you. My problem is thistles.
Oh.
I have thistles on my lawn, and they're blown in from my neighbor, and I don't know how to get rid of them.
Yeah, so these are the prickly thistles. You don't want to go out there in your bare feet?
No.
Thistles are so hard to get rid of. They blew in from your neighbor. Does your neighbor still have a lot of thistles, so even if you get rid of them, they're still going to keep blowing in?
Yes, yeah, she's still got them. She's on her own. I don't like bothering her.
There are laws on this. That's the thing. You could call the Oshawa somewhere, municipal government. They have a hotline you can call in. What's happening is your neighbor is growing illegal weeds. They're noxious weeds. Those weeds are impacting you and, of course, others, not just you.
And then
before you know it, the whole neighborhood is full of thistles. I understand that you don't want to be mean to your neighbor, but your neighbor needs to hire somebody to cut them down before they go to flower. Even if they aren't eliminated, they cannot be allowed to go to flower.
She has big grown sons. I don't know why.
Well, there you go, Yeah, so see the flowers, then the seeds, and the seeds blow to people's yards. How do you get rid of them? It's not easy. You can just keep cutting them down. Eventually, cutting them down to ground level, eventually the root will starve to death because there'll be no green on the plant, and eventually it can't survive without any photosynthesis. So you could take on your thistles on a daily basis, going out there with a whippersnipper and just cut them down right down to ground level. That's option one. Option two, bury them under a big plastic tarp and solarize them so that the hot sun will beat down and bake the plants so they will not survive under the plastic. That's number two. It is a noxious weed. You are entitled or legally entitled to use a herbicide like Roundup on thistles, which you would buy at your local, you know, garden center, home store, which is an option. But thistles have that. They're so interesting. They're furry, right? They've got the blades of the epidermis of the plants have all these fine hairs. You spray on your Roundup or anything, and the hairs reject and don't allow the Roundup to get right down into the epidermis. So they are really well evolved to not die. Your job will be to go out there with something like Roundup or a vinegar solution, but you're going to have to spray more than once, spray on a hot sunny day, and be prepared to spray every couple of days. Eventually they will die. Earlier, younger plants die faster than old plants, and you will be careful if you are using a spray to not spray the things you love, because the spray will kill anything it touches.
Yeah, I had a lawn care company. I'm 94, and I had a lawn care company for the last. My wife talked me over to getting rid of it, stop doing it. So anyway, they didn't do anything with it. I have broad leaves now. I have dandelions. But I'll be able to get rid of them. Yeah, I'll dig them up.
Digging is always an option. I didn't suggest digging thistles because of the amount of root that thistles tend to have. But yes, digging is always an option when it comes to unwanted.
I tried them last year. I dug up a lot of them, but they came back again.
Yeah, because
so I keep them cut.
Thistles, believe it or not, can send roots like up to kilometers away. So they're really hard to kill by digging. But you know what? We have to go. Thank you so, so much for your call.
Oh, thank you very much. That's, I appreciate it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that, Bill.
94 years old and he's worried about his thistles. I love it.
He's listening to The Garden Show. There you go. I was wondering if his neighbor's Scottish, maybe.
Maybe.
So maybe that's why they like
and
the thistles.
And she's probably 94 as well. Yeah. Unbelievable. Boy, wow, good on them, eh? Yeah. Gardening. Being still in the home thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of home, what you got the kids? You've got one of your kids home for Easter.
Yeah, I picked up our daughter from England. She was in England for 4 months, and so she's back. And
missed her, I bet.
We did.
See her
yeah,
since
it's nice to have her
before
back
before Christmas.
And we still have a son at university for a couple of weeks. He's got some final exams, and so we don't have them all home for Easter. But he was home for a couple of days. Dropped him back off at the university this morning before I came into the show.
So I will be picking up my children here in Toronto after the show and taking them back to my home in the county. So we're, as usual, we do the mixed. At Christmas, we call it Chrismica this time of year.
Right.
It's a Easter Passover feast. So, of course, you know, there's the matzah for the Passover people, and there's the turkey for me and all the stuffing. I love it. I love Easter. I love all these holidays.
Yeah, I
do,
too.
It's going to be fun.
And it's so great seeing so much coming up in the garden. You said you've got snowdrops. We have crocuses already coming
up. Yeah, I have crocuses coming
up, so we have those,
too.
And so a couple of them have started popping, but I keep telling myself that you say that having a nice, cool, gradual spring is a benefit.
It's a benefit. Well, to us as gardeners, last year it got really hot. We had a short spring. Everything went too fast. You just can't work that hard that fast. This is nice. We can go out for a couple hours a day and just stay on it and enjoy the birds. I love the cardinal story. I've got more to talk to you about birds in the future because I love supporting the birds. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you. Have a happy Easter.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks to the great callers, and Carlos couldn't do without him. And happy Easter, happy Passover. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.